Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us for the message. And if you'd like to follow along in today's message, I'll be preaching beginning at Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. Romans 2, 28 and 29. And the title of the message is in the form of a question: what about the Jew? What about the Jew? Now, the reason I have that title is from these verses, Romans 2, 28 and 29. Let's read them. It says, "For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh." Verse 29, "But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." Now, did you hear that? It's an interesting passage, isn't it? Well, you know, anytime, quite often, I'll get people who will email or write or call or question just in discussion about Israel and the Jews. For example, it's quite often people ask me, say, "Well, we as Christians, we should support the Jews. We should support Israel." Well, here's what I always tell people. I said, now you need to put that in perspective. First of all, the nation Israel that exists today in Palestine, in the Mideast, is an ally of the United States. And it's also the only democracy that I know of in that area. And so, yes, we should politically, economically, as an ally, support Israel. But when most people ask that question, they're referring to biblical passages, like, for example, back in Genesis chapter 12, where God made a covenant with Abraham, and there is a reference there to Abraham's physical seed. Abraham also had a spiritual seed, we're going to see. And he says, "I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you." That had an application to the physical nation of Israel under the old covenant for 1,500 years from Sinai to the cross. But that particular promise and even the curse, the threat of the curse, does not apply to the nation Israel today as it exists. And I know people don't like to hear that. Now again, yes, we should support them. They're an ally. They're a democracy. They seem to be intent on a just cause. And so we support them, and I'm all for that. But not for any religious reason, you see. Now, what I'm going to show you, and I've spoken on this before, who is the true Israel? Who is a true Jew? What about the Jew? What does the Bible teach? Well, the true Israel of God today is the church, the redeemed of the Lord, the true church. And I know upsets people, makes them mad, and they'll all automatically, you may have heard this term, they'll use the term replacement theology. Well, he believes that the church replaced Israel. No, I don't. It's not replacement theology at all. I'll tell you what it is. It's fulfillment theology. Fulfillment theology. Israel as a nation under the old covenant had its time. But then what the Bible calls the Reformation came about. Now that Reformation is not referring to the 1500s where Martin Luther and John Calvin and Ulrich Zwingli and those men stood against the Catholic Church. That is called historically the Reformation. But the word Reformation is also used in Hebrews chapter 9, referring to the time when Jesus Christ came into the world. The time of change. And Christ fulfilled the whole law and the prophets, and He abolished the old covenant by way of, not replacement, but fulfillment. That's what it says. Christ fulfilled that. Now let me give you an analogy of that. All through the Old Testament, even before Israel and Mount Sinai, the way to worship God was through the sacrifice of particular unblemished animals, like lambs. Abel did that. God instituted that in Genesis 3:21. Now, all of that, those lambs, all the blood that was slain from Abel all the way up to the cross, to the time of the cross. Just think about that. That was the way to worship God. Now, it was not that animal blood itself could take away sin. Hebrews 10 tells us the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin. But it's what that animal blood typified. It's who the animal blood typified and prophesied, the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when Christ came as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, did He replace all those lambs that were slain before? No, He fulfilled it and stopped it. You see, Christ is, those things were types and pictures. Christ is the real thing. Christ is the anti-type, in other words. He's the fulfillment of that. And that's why we who are Christians today, we don't sacrifice lambs. We don't shed blood of physical animals. Because Christ, those things were shadows. Christ is the substance. That's what the whole book of Hebrews is about. Now the same thing applies to Israel and the church. Israel, in essence, in many ways, not in all ways now, and understand now when you say this Israel was a type of the church, you can't apply everything about Israel to the church or everything about the church to Israel. Israel was mainly made up of unbelievers. But they were still a type of the church in some sense. For example, they were in bondage in Egypt. Well, the true church, which is the people of God, the elect of God, the redeemed of the Lord, we were in bondage to sin. They were brought out by the blood, the Passover. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. The true church is brought out, redeemed by the blood of Christ. You see, that's the type. But you can't apply everything. You know, my pastor used to say you can't make a type stand on all fours. The substance is always better than the type. So, yes, we should support the nation Israel in our world today, but not for any religious reason. There, and we do not worship the same God because, as I said last week in the message on one way of salvation, Christ is the only way to God. To deny Christ is to be an unbeliever. And any view of God apart from Christ, you see, is a false view. Whatever view you have of God, you may believe some truth about God, but until you know Christ as the Lord your righteousness, the blood of Christ, the God-man who came to this world and united Himself with human nature without sin, walked this earth in obedience to the law unto death, and established the only righteousness whereby sinners can be justified, His righteousness imputed. Until you submitted to Him as your righteousness, all of your views of God and the way of salvation is false. Now that's what Paul's talking about here in Romans chapter 2. He'd started out by saying in Romans 1:16 and 17 that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first, because it was given to the Jews first, and to the Greek or the Gentile also, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Well, the reason we need the righteousness of God is because we don't have a righteousness of our own. You see, God is righteous, and we are not. There's none righteous, no, not one. None that doeth good, in God's sight, according to God's standard. So salvation cannot come by any righteousness of men, because men have no righteousness. So how does salvation come? By the grace of God, through the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God in human flesh, without sin. Romans 5:21 says, as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And so he begins in Romans 1:18 to bring all the whole human race in guilty before God and depraved without any hope of salvation by their works. And that includes the Jews under the law. In fact, in Romans 2, that's who he really deals with more than anything else. He talks about the Jews who had the law of Moses. He says in verse 11, look at Romans 2:11. He says, for there's no respect of persons with God. The fact of if you're a Jew or Gentile, that doesn't mean anything to God. He says, for as many as have sinned, verse 12, as many as have sinned without the law, that'd be the Gentiles, and they did sin, shall also perish without the law. But he goes on, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. That's the Jews. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. In other words, the law says this, do and live, disobey and die. Well, what about the Jews? Did they disobey? Yes, they did. And that, I'm not saying that self-righteously, because we have too. We are all sinners. Romans 3:9 says the Scripture has concluded all under sin. Are we better than they, it says? Are we better than they? No. We're all under sin. Jew and Gentile. The only hope, listen, the only hope for a Gentile to be saved before God, to be justified before God, to be made right with God, to be accepted with God, to be blessed of God, the only hope for a Gentile is the grace of God through Jesus Christ based on His righteousness imputed alone. Now, you know something? You want to know something? That's the only hope for a Jew, too. To be the only hope for salvation for a Jew, to be accepted, to be justified, to be right, blessed, to have eternal life, is by the grace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ based on His righteousness imputed alone. The fact that a physical Jew, is a physical descendant of Abraham will do him no good. The fact that a physical Jew is under the law of Moses will do him no good. You can put the Ten Commandments all not only on your wall, you can put it everywhere. And all it's going to do is condemn you. Why? Because you're a sinner. You say, well, shouldn't we try to keep the law? Yes, we should try to keep the law, but that's not going to save us. It's not going to make us righteous. It's not going to earn blessings from God because we're sinners. The fact that a physical Jew was circumcised means nothing. And that's what Paul says here in verse 27 of Romans 2. He says, shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee who by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law? Here's a Gentile who's not circumcised. That's natural. If he kept the law, he would judge the Jew who was circumcised who didn't keep the law. Here's the point. Paul says this, it doesn't matter whether you're a Jew, a circumcised Jew, or an uncircumcised Gentile. Do you have a righteousness that equals, answers the demands of God's justice? Because if you don't, you will be damned. Where am I going to find righteousness that equals the demands of God's justice? Only one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. So verse 28 and 29, here's what he says. He says, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Now, you know, the name Jew came from the tribe of Judah. First, in the Bible, the first place you find the word Jew is in the book of Esther, Mordecai the Jew. But it came from the tribe of Judah, which was the main tribe of the southern kingdom of Israel after Israel split, you remember, after Solomon. You had Rehoboam and Jeroboam, and they split the kingdom. And 10 of those tribes went into the northern part, and even into Samaria. Later on, they built a temple in Samaria. And that's the northern. That's the northern kingdom called, and it was generally called Israel. And then the southern kingdom, which maintained their headquarters in Jerusalem and around the temple of God, the temple of Solomon, until it was destroyed, that was called Judah. And that's where the name Jew came from. Well, it came from the name Judah because they were sons of, he was one of the sons of Jacob. Jacob, you remember, his name was changed to Israel. The name Jacob actually means supplanter. That's a name of a sinner. And the name Israel, which was given to Jacob after he wrestled with the angel, who I believe was a pre-incarnate visitation of Christ, in, I think it's in Genesis 35, his name was changed to Israel, which means one who has prevailed with God. Now, ask yourself this question. How does a sinner prevail with God? Well, there's only one way. And again, it's the same way. By God's grace, through the person and the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to prevail with God? You want to have the victory? You know, you hear people say, oh, you have the victory. All right, look to Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Look to His righteousness as your only righteousness before God. That's how you prevail with God. Well, he says in verse 28, he's not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Now, what does that mean? That's talking about physical. He says, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. He says the physical state of that person as a Jew does not make him a Jew in a certain way. Well, what way does it not make him a Jew? Verse 29 explains it. He is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, the mind, the affections, the will, the conscience, the inner man. Circumcised heart. In the spirit. That is, it's a spiritual thing, not in the letter. In other words, not according to the law, but according to the Spirit, whose praise is not of men, but of God. What is he doing? He's making a distinction here between a physical Jew, a physical son or daughter of Abraham, and physical circumcision, and a spiritual Jew, a spiritual son or daughter of Abraham, who has been spiritually, in the heart, circumcised by the Holy Spirit. Well, what is spiritual circumcision? Well, my friend, spiritual circumcision is the new birth. The Bible says that when God, through Christ, sends the Spirit to accomplish the new birth in the life of His people, He gives them a new heart, a new spirit, new life, new mind. That's the He brings them to faith in Christ and repentance of dead works. That's spiritual circumcision. They believe the gospel. They believe in Christ. And that's what it is. A spiritual Jew is what he's talking about. Over in the book of Galatians, chapter 3, listen to this. Verse 26, Galatians 3, verse 26. He says, for you are all, now who's the all there? Jew and Gentile, believer. You are all the children of God, by faith in Christ Jesus. You see, being a physical descendant of Abraham doesn't make you a child of God. Being a Gentile doesn't make you a child of God. You're all children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you submit to Him as your righteousness before God? Is it His blood that washes away all your sins? That's a child of God. And he says in verse 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now that's not talking about water baptism, the ordinance, which is an ordinance of confession for believers. To be baptized into Christ means to be united to Christ, placed into Christ. Romans chapter 6 speaks of that, being placed into His death, baptized into His death. And what that means is that Christ stood and stands as the representative, the surety, the substitute of His people, so that He acted for them on their behalf based upon their sins imputed to Him. They were in Christ. We were chosen. If you're a child of God, you were chosen by God in Christ before the foundation of the world. That's what the Bible teaches. In Ephesians chapter 1, for example, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Chosen in Christ, given to Christ before the foundation of the world. If you're in Christ, if you're a child of God, you were justified before God based upon the righteousness that Christ would accomplish at Calvary. It's imputed to you. Your sins were imputed to Him, and His righteousness imputed to you if you're a child of God. And that means He was your surety. He took responsibility for your case. And then if you're a child of God, you were redeemed on the cross by His blood. The Bible says, when He died, we died. When He was buried, we were buried. When He arose again, we arose again. He's our representative, our substitute, our redeemer. And then if you're a child of God, you've been born again by the Spirit and brought to faith in Christ. That's what it means you have put on Christ. To put Him on. That's a metaphor. Like you put on a coat. It's not meaning that you just have Him on the outside but not on the inside. It means you believe in Him. You rest in Him. You follow Him. And look at verse 28 of Galatians 3. He says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, Jew nor Gentile. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Verse 29, and if you be Christ, or if you belong to Christ, then are you Abraham's seed, spiritual seed, and heirs according to the promise. There's the spiritual Jew. There's the spiritual seed of Abraham. Turn the page over to Galatians chapter 6. Look at verse 14. Paul writes here in Galatians 6 and verse 14, but God forbid that I should glory or boast or have confidence save except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. The world's a cursed place to me. And the world looks upon me as cursed. Verse 15, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature or a new creation. Now the new creation or the new creature there is the one who has the circumcised heart. Physical circumcision means nothing, is what he's saying here. And verse 16, he says, and as many as walk according to this rule, this doctrine. What rule? God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Jesus Christ. Peace be on them. They're at peace with God. Because peace has been made by the cross of Christ, the blood of Christ. And mercy. God's been merciful to them. How do you know? Because they're forgiven based on Christ's blood. And upon the Israel of God, those who have prevailed with God. Who is the Israel of God? It's the ones who have the circumcised heart, evidenced by their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and their repentance of their dead works. They repent of ever thinking that anything but Christ's righteousness imputed alone could ever justify them before God or recommend them to God. Their salvation is not based upon what they've earned or deserved, whether it be by physical heritage, circumcision, or law-keeping. They know they're sinners and have nothing to recommend them to God but the grace of God found in the glorious person and finished work of Christ. They glory, they boast, they have confidence, not in themselves, not in their earthly fathers, not in physical acts, not in their obedience, but they glory, they boast, they have confidence in what Christ finished on the cross when he fulfilled the law and justice of God by his death. Christ is the end of the law, the perfection of the law, the fulfillment of the law, the finishing of the law, the completion of it for righteousness to everyone that believeth. What about the Jew? Well, are you talking about a physical Jew or are you talking about a spiritual Jew? The physical Jew, I thank God for the Jewish people. And the Lord used them so much in the Old Testament, but mainly because he used that nation to bring the Savior through. Christ was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. I pray for the Jews, the physical Jews. I pray for that nation. I pray that God will work a great work in that nation and bring them to Christ for salvation. But you know what? I pray that for this nation. I pray that for all nations. I want to see God bring millions of people to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, Jew and Gentile. But if we're talking about the physical Jew who is an unbeliever, we're talking about an unbeliever, not one who worships the same God just in a different way. It's an unbeliever. He's an unbeliever. But the spiritual Jew, that's the child of God. That's the sinner saved by grace and not by his works. And that's what Paul was talking about over here in Romans 2:29 when he said, he's a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. In other words, his right relationship with God is established and declared by God through the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.